The best guide you have to being a good father is the Word of God and the Father God himself. Learn by heart the wonderful prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. If you have more than one, you become experienced. And now we are grandparents, we have a lot of experience under our belts, so it's a lot easier. And the wonderful thing I found about being grandparents, at the end of the day, you can give them back. Yeah. Only temporary, because you get them again, don't you? Yeah. Praise God. I've never ever regretted the day of being a father, and I remember coming out of the hospital after the birth of Roger with a spring in my step, and it'd been snowing that day, and I was so excited. And it wasn't until I got home I realized it hit me. Life is going to be different from now on. And when the second and the third one comes along, well, by that time you should be well experienced and able to cope. But if you've got your Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 11. And by the way, if you are excited by this message, you can hear it again if you go onto our website. I dare you. And you can play it again for yourself there. Praise God. Luke 11. Jesus spent an awful lot of time alone in prayer. It was very important to him. And if I was going to give any advice to any new fathers, I would say this: learn how to pray. There are times in your experience that you'll be desperate enough to pray. I just pray that if you've got a new baby, that it sleeps well at night. If it doesn't, you'll learn how to pray. But notice the disciples recognized and noticed that Jesus spent an awful lot of time in prayer. And so they said, well, teach us how to pray. And he told them his familiar prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. It's the King James Version. I've been brought up on the King James Version, so I find it very difficult to swap over to the other one. Father, may your name be kept holy, is a modern translation. Now this sermon, and I want to get this clear to you guys who are fathers, this is not a sermon of comparisons. I don't want you to sit there in the chair and think, well, I can never measure up to God. That's not the whole purpose of this message. The purpose is to show you something of your Heavenly Father, a pattern, something that he shows to you each day that you can copy. Not to be exactly like him. We all try to be like Jesus and to be Christ-like, but we're just mere human beings. The sermon is not then a comparison as a father. You will never be compared to your Heavenly Father. There is no comparison to be found, because there's only one God and there's none like unto him. I feel greatly relieved after saying that, so I'm thankful just to be me. And that's my advice to you, just to be you. It's a new experience, it's a learning curve, it's an exciting time, it's a wonderful privilege and honor to be a father. I have to admit that I'm very much like my father. Not the one in heaven, but the one here on earth. Well, he used to be, he's no longer with us. And we can expect our children to be something like us. And that's a learning curve in itself. When you look at your child, just remember, he or she has something of you in them. And if you know yourself, you'll learn a lot by that. Because as you see in yourself, you will see in your children. But when you are born again, into the household of God, when you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we have a new start, a new focus to become like Jesus. I was very fortunate because, as you see, I'm not very tall, and my father was 6'2", so I don't know what's happened to me. Something went wrong along the line. I think I took after my mother, who came up to here on my shoulders. But I was able to look up to him. And I've got a lovely personal photograph of me and my father in Skegness in Lincolnshire many years ago. Little strapper holding his hands and looking up to him like this. And that reminds me that as a father, I can do exactly the same with my Heavenly Father. He takes me by the hand and I can look into his face and know that he will guide and lead me and teach me how to be a great father. Because I look at him, I read his word, I listen to his voice speaking to me from the Bible, I can learn how to be a good person. So don't compare yourself with anyone. Who you are, be open. Be open to guidance, advice, and help. Mainly from the Lord himself, from the word of God, from your fellow fathers who are Christians. Learn from them. Get some advice. Never try to go alone. It's a new thing that you're learning to be. Something you've never been. I was talking to Russell the other day. He was talking about how I was feeling. Russell is 86, and he can't explain how he's feeling. I said, well, the reason why you can't explain is because you've never been here before. You've never been 86, and you have never been a father before. So it's a new learning curve. So you need help and encouragement. I'm sure you'll find it in lots of places, but the best place is the Word of God, and have God as a pattern to start with. The idea that God is a father of all humanity would have been very radical to the Jewish mind. His name would not even been spoken, let alone written. It was too holy to mention. And the idea that the creator of the universe could be called Father was quite radical. But we see Jesus alone in prayer, and he's noticed by his disciples, this was so and so. They thought he must get something an awful lot from prayer, being alone with his Father, and they wanted to learn the secret of his power and his strength and his influence in the world and in the ministry that he had here on earth. They wanted to know the secret of prayer, if there was any secret. And he just simply says, this is how you are to pray. And you look at the Lord's Prayer, many say, well, what was the prayer of Jesus? And they always say, the Lord's Prayer, but it isn't. If you want to know really how Jesus prayed, read John 17. That's where you see Jesus at prayer between him and his Father. This was just the beginning. It was just a taster to start them off on a journey of communicating and praying with the Lord. It's clear from Luke's record that Jesus took this opportunity to show them that God was and is ours. A father. The Father. So we talk about the fatherhood of God. I think as a little child, I had the idea that God was somebody who sat on a cloud. He either played a harp or he had a big stick. And every time I did something wrong, I'd get a whack. I never heard him playing the harp, but I felt the stick. Not necessarily from him, but from my earthly father. He didn't argue with a 6'2" giant. Fatherhood of God, it's a wonderful thought. It's marvelous. And if I'd have been Jewish and I was in the synagogue, or if I was amongst the disciples and heard Jesus talking about God being my father, that was just too much. If you speak to any Hebrew speaker, any Jewish person in Israel today, the religious ones, of course, if they spoke about God, they'd just say Hashem, which means the name. They won't utter his name. They won't even use the word God. And when you see God printed in any of their literature, O is missing. It's a mark of reverence and respect. So that tells me something about being a father. I have a great responsibility. A great responsibility. But also, if I carrying out my duty as well as a father, I should have respect and honour that goes with it. Now, I remember as a little lad, I didn't have a car in those days. I spent a lot of time going on public transport. And if I was with my parents and I was seated on a seat and a little old lady or a little old man got on and there was no seats, they insisted I stood up and let the gentleman or the lady sit down. That happened to me once on the tube in London and I felt so embarrassed. Have I reached that age where people stand up for me? Now, Jesus was in no way devaluing the wonderful holy name of his Father, the God of all creation, the creator of the vast universe. And yet we see him introduced as the Father, my Father. That gives me an awful lot of comfort as a believer, as a Christian, that though we let each other down, and perhaps even our parents or our own earthly father lets us down, we have a father who will never, ever let us down. Now, the Lord's Prayer, as we know, it was a prayer given to them and to show them some wonderful aspects of who he was and who he is. The Lord's Prayer reveals something of him. The Father in heaven is available. That's something I've had to learn as a father. Sometimes you're so busy, you work so many hours, you know, you're under pressure all the time. By the time you get home, the kid is almost going to bed and you don't see much of them. But please, take this advice. Your Heavenly Father is always available. Therefore, make every effort to be available for your children. God is everywhere present, the omnipresence of God. So I haven't got to worry about where he is. Is he away? Is he working long shifts? My Heavenly Father surrounds me, is with me all the time. You can never be that as a father, but you can do your best. Jesus' last thoughts given to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. And lo, I am with you always, right to the end of the age, or the end of time. So that's a promise given to us, that he is with us all the time, wherever we are, day or night. This is what we are to be as a father, to be available for our children wherever possible. But it's, as I've said, it's not always possible. But where it is, make sure you are available. Secondly, another thought. He is always attentive. He's always attentive. One of my weaknesses and failings is that you never listen. In other words, I'm always away somewhere, my mind's elsewhere, and when Christy's talking to me, she can tell I'm not with her. You're not listening. Well, you can never say that about the Lord. He's always attentive to your prayers, our prayers. I remember as a senior at senior school. Now, some of you youngsters will not know anything about this. When I was at school, your teacher was like a god. You called him, you never called him by his personal name. You called him sir. You paid attention and you listened. One or two times I had pieces of chalk whisk past my head. because I was elsewhere instead of paying attention, especially on a nice summer day, the windows open, and I was longing to be out there rather in the classroom. And occasionally, if I was talking when I shouldn't be, a blackboard rubber would come flying through the air, and you'd go like that, and it'd miss. Of course, they wouldn't get away with that today. It's wonderful now that I don't have to throw chalk at God to get his attention. He is always attentive to me and my needs and the needs of others. This prayer also reveals that he provides for us. You know, in the days that we're living, things are so expensive, so over the top. It really is difficult to make ends meet. And sometimes it can be a real struggle. But the writer says this, give us this day our daily bread. God provides for us. Paul said, if you've got clothes, if you've got food, you should be content with that. But we're not, are we? We want this, we want that. And God has promised to provide for our needs, not our wants. It's interesting to note, he is our protector. I can really testify several times in my life where I had a near-death experience. I could have easily been killed and wiped out, but God took care of me. I remember one day being thrown from a tractor up into the air, and I could remember, as though it was yesterday, I've always wanted to fly, but not in this way. I went through the air, and I fell on a pile of bricks because I was on a trailer of a tractor. And my friend, the tractor driver, was showing off, and he whipped round the corner too quick on the side of a hill. The tractor trailer went over and demolished a 6-foot wall 20 feet long. I don't know what it is in meters. My friend who was with me, he went through the rose bushes. You should have seen the state of him. And I landed on the pile of bricks that was left after the trailer demolished the wall, and my head was that far away from a 5-bar gate upright. Another inch and I'd gone straight into it and I'd have probably been killed outright. God does provide for us and takes care of us. He is our protector. But if you walk close to the Lord, he's also your protector from falling into sin and falling into temptation. He will guide you and lead you in the right path. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So he forgives. And he protects us from all evil. Satan has no real power over those who walk close to the Lord. Thirdly, I've said that as a father, I should be open to receive guidance, advice, and help. And that if you seek for them and look for them either in the Word of God or through this particular prayer or through fellow Christians, be humble enough to ask to get the advice that you need, especially from those who are well experienced in being fathers or mothers. I know it's Father's Day, but I know when a woman has her first child, it can almost panic. You know, nowadays you've got the internet, you've got books, you know, you've got so much information, you don't know where. I don't know. I don't think I'd bother with the internet because I'd be so confused. I'd just say, well, Lord, I'll trust you and let's get on it together and learn as we go along. But a notice of the Lord's Prayer, it's a pattern in itself. Now, you ladies know what patterns are. I know because I've been dragged into craft shops, into wool shops, looking for patterns for grandchildren, granddaughters in particular. I know what a pattern is now. I've always known what a pattern is because my mum used to knit all the time. You ladies, can you remember when you used to have... My job was to stand there with wool stretched from one hand to the other, like why they went like that and made them into balls. You remember that? Some of you youngsters won't. You know, that was my job. How I hated that. And they never seemed to make jumpers that looked great and trendy. Tank tops, we used to call them. without sleeves. But of course, in the wintertime, we're grateful for them. So it's a pattern. Now, what is a pattern? Well, I'm so clever, I got my dictionary out. And it says this about a pattern: a regular, recognizable way that something is done. I thought, how true that is. It's true of being a father and being a mother. A regular, recognizable way that things are done. Gents, have you ever looked at a knitting pattern? Oh, how it can be simple, I don't recognize it. I don't understand any of it. Lift one, drop one, or whatever it is you do with the knitting needles. Yeah. The other thing I know about knitting is when I read Charles Dickens, you know, The Tale of Two Cities, and the women stood there knitting while they chopped people's head off with the guillotine. But, you know, it's a recognizable way of doing things. If you don't know, ask, read. Get people who have experience in it. Don't try and do it all yourself. But most of all, seek the Lord. Learn to pray. Joe Stolwell is one of the writers in the Daily Reading book, says this: what a wonderful pattern for fathers who aren't in heaven. How true that is. If you want a pattern, if you want somebody who knows what he's doing, consult with the Lord. He created the whole universe. There is nothing that can surprise him or take him off guard. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. We are less than perfect fathers, and it's true of grandparents as well, because we're just mere human beings and we can only learn from our Heavenly Father. But if we listen to him and take note of his guidance and advice and help, I can guarantee you will improve. You will improve. Some of our children would say, you need to. I hope that's not true of me, because I'm a bit too late to start changing. What is important to them is this: your availability, your undivided attention, your protection when others will let them down. Even then, they, as grown-ups, will have learned to appreciate what a good person and what a good father you are and have been. What about those who have never had a good father? You can't forget this. In the society that we live in today, a lot of our problems with our young folk is that they come from broken families. Unless you have experienced that for yourself, you have no idea what they're going through. And you can never appreciate a guy or a girl who has no father, or perhaps the other way around, they haven't no mother, because their family have been broken up through divorce or many other reasons. And you can't help but feel compassionate. I'm not telling you that my family was a perfect family. It wasn't. There were 6 children in a very small house, and the age group between the youngest and the oldest is quite large. And it was not always perfect. It wasn't a Christian home either. Although my mother started to go to church when her father died, and she met the Lord there, and she made a personal commitment to the Lord, but my father never made that choice, as far as I know. So that made things difficult. But it's not as difficult as a broken family, when there's no father influence, or sometimes no mother influence. And so when you speak to people like that, and I'm sure you know people like that who come from broken homes, and it leaves a scar. It leaves a mark in their lives. Life has never been the same as it should have been. And so they can't compare. They can't think on the same line as you. And I think when we think about the fatherhood of God, because they never even had an earthly one. So how can they understand an heavenly one? So it is difficult for them to learn the principles of what a father should be because they've never experienced it. So it's a difficult one. But then we know that when a person makes that personal commitment to the Lord, he can make all the difference to their lives. One thing I learned is when I first became a Christian, what is in the past remains in the past. Paul says, I'm forgetting what's behind. I press on to the high calling that I have in Jesus Christ. So he relived his new life with a new father, a father who was in heaven, one who was attentive and listened to his every prayer, somebody who stood by his side when he was shipwrecked, when he was beaten, when he was thrown into prison. He always knew that his heavenly father was with him, his father in heaven. Because of Jesus and his sacrifice, you now can be introduced to the family of God. I got to a place when I first became a Christian, I was so excited, so enthusiastic about going to church. I'd go to 3 Bible studies a week. I became a Sunday school teacher. I was so excited. My mother and father said, why don't you take your bed down there? I was hardly ever at home. I was so excited about my new family, about my new Heavenly Father. One thing I can say about my Heavenly Father, he is perfect. And he can meet all my deepest needs. Again, Joe Stolwell said this, he's the best father of all. And how true that is. In conclusion then, thank you God for being my father. A shepherd, a guardian, a guide. And I am so grateful, Lord, I will never outgrow my need for your love and care and guidance. We want to seek you with all our hearts, that we might know you more intimately, more than ever before. Just a thought to finish with. The Heavenly Father's arms are never tired of holding his children. Now we've got 2 granddaughters, and Jessica's nearly 4 now, but I can't really pick her up. She's, you know, and George is getting just as bad. I think it's to do with my age. But, you know, my Heavenly Father never gets tired of holding me in his arms. And it's just nice to think that when I can't cope, he can. When I don't know, he does. And when I cannot see, he's been there already. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a joy and privilege to be a father. Even better, to have you as a pattern to follow, somebody who gives us undivided attention. You're always there for us. You're our protector and our provider. And this prayer of Jesus is a very simple prayer, but it says so much to us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.